Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to your Friday Night Live, 25th October, 2024, 251024. And we are going to have some serious Sandworm Bring the Spice show tonight. It's spice time tonight, my friends. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome. 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 This show is going to change your life. I mean, they're all aiming to do that, but this one, okay, maybe it won't change your life quite as much as getting into Bitcoin 20 years ago. But, he said anachronistically, Joe says, Steph, thanks for releasing that entrepreneur episode early. It was a great episode. You are welcome, Joe. I aim to please. Somebody asked, can I do the truth about siblings? You'll need to give me more detail than that. All right. Hey, Steph, I would love if you can do a review on The Substance. It's a horror movie. Hits on women growing old, losing their youth, beauty, and what you speak of, the desire for the unearned. Boy, have you ever seen a movie called The Platform? Have you seen a movie called The Platform? Dear God, don't. Whatever you do, do not see the movie called The Platform. It is absolutely monstrous. It is absolutely monstrous. It is as close to hell as you're ever going to get. Do not have anything to do with that movie. It is just monstrous. Don't forget, fdrurl.com/TikTok. Join the TikTok channel. I really would appreciate that. It's nice to see. Thank you, Anthony, for the donation. Massively appreciated. As always, super kind, super thoughtful, massively and humbly appreciated. Remember, I did the free call-in with the guy who I was a bit rude to a week and a half ago, so that's good. And let's see here. All right, so you gather your questions, and hit me with a why if you're ready to change your life. You tell me if you're ready to change your life, I will change my glasses. There we go. Slightly less of a bubbles. What is it, Bubba from the Trailer Park Boys? Oh, so yeah, the spoilers. The not spoilers exactly, but the movie The Platform is a sadistic, horrendous, murderous, cannibalistic, violent, degrading, rapey, psychotic, communist vision from an Spanish director. And in it, people are in these prisons in layers, and food goes from the top to the bottom, and everyone just takes stuff. And then there's nothing left for the people at the bottom, and they have to turn on each other. It's a really, really subtle analogy. Because Marxists, socialists are animals, which is a huge insult to animals, of course, but they're animals because animals really don't farm much. I guess ants do a little bit, right? But for Marxists, there's just an incomprehensible amount of food. Some people get some and other people just don't. You can't make your own food. You can't produce your own food. You're completely trapped. I mean, Marxism comes from the youngest siblings on highly abusive families, right? If you're the very youngest brother in a highly abusive family, you're going to be a Marxist. So, I know I've never watched Trailer Park Boys, but I did see them shill for the vaccine. So, didn't need to shill for the vaccine. All right, I got the question about sexlessness in a marriage, and I got a couple of your other questions. Am I the same person? And I will get to those, but I'm going to give you all a life-changing speech. So yeah, Don Quixote by Cervantes is sort of famous. It's called Tilting at Windmills. It's about a knight who's a fool who thinks he's fighting a dragon, but he's just running his lance at an old windmill. It means to be grandiose about the foes that you're fighting because you're doddery and sentimental, and you're not actually fighting any particular foes at all of any substance or import. All right. And I will go and check the comments over on Rumble as well, just so you know. Hello, Wilson. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. freedomain.com/donate. So this comes from a call today. That will never see the light of day. But it is a call from today. It's about the problem of parental neglect. So what I'm saying here is foundationally relevant. I mean, it'll be taken out of context, of course, right? But I mean, I'm not going to become paranoid because people are manipulative listeners. But it is specific to people who have parental neglect. How much for you to be shirtless for this speech? Hey, man, throw something over and let's see how it goes. So, parental neglect. This call today, I mean, it's happened a bunch of times and we've talked about it. I won't talk about the call today, but we've had it a bunch of times where people are bullied as children and their parents don't seem to notice, things like that, right? So this is around substantial parental neglect. The parents don't take joy in your existence. They don't seek out your company. They don't want to play with you. They don't help you understand how important you are to them. They don't evince or manifest any particular pair bonding. They just don't seem to connect with you at all. So I'm talking about significant parental neglect. What do you do about it? So the modern, and I dare say hyper-feminine way that people deal with childhood pain is to feel sad. So sad. Just tragic. All the things that I just didn't get that I needed and all of the problems and I feel so hollow and I want to reach for my parents, but I just don't, you know, I can't connect with them and there's this sorrow and this sadness. Ugh. And listen, sorrow and sadness, no problem with it. We all have sorrow. We all feel sad from time to time. Into every life, a little rain must fall. But dear God. Dear God. You cannot get to safety from neglect without anger. You cannot get to safety from neglect without anger. And how do you get to the anger? Well, go with me on a journey, a metaphorical journey. Now, if you weren't neglected, this will help you understand people who were neglected. And if you were neglected, this will help you understand yourself and free you from it, from the effects of neglect. This is what I mean when I say this is a life-changing speech. Once again, you're making a speech that is of direct relevance to my personal life. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, here's how to think of neglect. It's not even a suggestion. Here's how to think of neglect. So, let's say that you book a private call in with me and you pay ahead of time, right? You book a private call in with me, freedomain.com/call in, and you pay ahead of time. And then I just don't show up and I ghost you and I block you and I ban you, right? I ghost you, I block you and I ban you. What would you feel? Tell me, what would you feel? You book a private call with me, pay ahead of time, and I just don't show up. And then they block you and ghost you, and you never get the call. How do you feel? What's your response? Are you sad? Are you, you feel there's just a sense of loss, and you know, we just don't connect, and I just wasn't given what I needed, and I'm sad, and the sorrow, and the, right? Well, you're angry, aren't you? Because I incurred a voluntary debt with you. You paid me for my time, and I didn't show up I don't explain, I ghost, and I block. You'd be mad, right? Now, of course, yeah, I mean, I'm just giving you an example. It could be anyone, right? If it was anyone else, fury, right? Yes, it's a long con. It's a long con. I've been doing this almost 20 years just to rip you off the price of a private call, right? Oh, but you'd be mad, right? You'd be mad. Why? Because I didn't pay you what I owed you, which is my time for your payment. I didn't pay you what I owed you, so you'd be mad. Now, there'd be some sorrow, maybe there'd be some disappointment. Gee, I thought Steph would be slightly more honorable than that. I mean, and the reason this is sort of theoretical is that I don't charge people ahead of time anyway. You just pay when you're done. Depending on how long we go and how long you want to go, just pay when we're done. So you'd be mad, right? Okay. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two is you're a parent. You have a beloved daughter. She's 14 years old, and she gets a job as a dishwasher. It's an ugly job, and she's supposed to get paid every week. And she comes home, and she's really upset. You say, well, honey, what happened? Well, I didn't get paid. He said, I didn't get paid. He wouldn't pay me. I said, but did you get fired? No. No, he wants me to come back, but he's not paying me. It's like, what do you mean he's not paying you? Why not? He doesn't say. I don't know why. I must be a terrible worker. I didn't drop any dishes. I tried to work as fast as I could. It's horrible there. It's a difficult job. But I tried to do a good job, and he didn't seem to have any complaints. But he's just not paying me. He's supposed to pay me. I work Monday to Friday. He's supposed to pay me Friday night. That's what we talked about ahead. You were there. It's what we talked about ahead of time, right? He's supposed to pay me Friday night. He didn't pay me. I don't think he's going to pay me. But he wants me to come back. And he didn't have any complaints. Would you be mad? Sure. Right? You'd call up the guy and you'd say, hey, bro, I'm sorry if you forgot. Just to remind you, you owe my daughter the pay, right? She said she was working for this amount an hour. She worked this many hours and you owe her her pay. Right? Third scenario. Same daughter, a year or two later, she takes on a job where she works very hard and she gets commission, but the commission is only paid after 6 months. She's selling encyclopedias. I don't know, that's back in the day. I had a girlfriend who did that once. And she's supposed to get paid after 6 months. She works her shoes to the bone. She wears out her shoes, pounding the pavement, doing the work. And then they're supposed to pay her like $20,000 after 6 months. You've seen the numbers. She's selling the encyclopedias. She's doing the work. She's making the sales. And they just don't pay her. Would you be, oh, that's so sad. Oh, you must be a terrible worker. Oh, they must be so disappointed in you. You'd be mad, right? Would you be sad? Yeah, I guess to some degree, to some small degree, but would you be mad? Well, yes. Of course. Of course you'd be mad. Because her employer hasn't paid her what he promised her, the conditions of her employment, and he's stealing from your little girl. Oof. He's stealing from your little girl. This asshole of an employer is stealing from your little girl. So that's what you do, right? You march right down to that office and you say, you guys cut a check for my daughter. You owe her 20 grand. And if you don't, I'll take you to small claims court. Right. I mean, I actually had to do that once. I put a deposit on an apartment And I said to the guy, listen, I got to check with my girlfriend. If she doesn't like it, I need my money back. And he's like, no problem. I checked with my girlfriend. She didn't like it. I went to get my money back. He wouldn't give me my money back. And I was like, okay, please give me my money back. No, deposit's non-refundable. I said, no, we talked about this. We talked about this. You said I could get it back if my girlfriend didn't like it. Ah, you must have misunderstood. So I took him to court and I got my money back and he had to pay my legal fees. Don't have to have an argument. You just have to get things resolved. So, you should pay what you owe, right? Particularly to children. You should pay what you owe, or you're stealing, in particular, to children. Now, I'm sure you're all way ahead of me as far as this goes. This is highly relevant to the question or issue called neglect. When you have a child, and you keep that child, you have, hold, keep, and raise that child, you owe the child love, care, wisdom, time, attention, resources, and affection. You owe the child that. Just as surely as if you pay me for my time, I owe you my time. Just as surely as if your wife, your daughter works for a week, she's owed her pay. If your daughter works for 6 months, she's owed her pay. To steal from adults is bad enough. To steal from children is unholy. So I understand the hurt. I understand the upset. I understand the sorrow. I understand the self-pity. I understand the loss. I really do. But dear God, your parents did not pay their debts to you as a child that they voluntarily incurred by having, holding, and keeping you. It's more important than paying a week's dishwashing wages. It's more important than paying 6 months of wages for encyclopedia sales. It's more important than anything. And it goes on week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, that you are not paid what you are owed. Now, when people owe you money and they refuse to pay you, and then when you point out that they are remiss in their payments, they get angry and yell at you. It's in the past. Of course, I paid you already. I already paid you back. I already paid you back double. It's in the past. What do you care about? Move on. Doesn't matter. It's unimportant. Let's look to the future, not the past. Never happened. I don't owe you anything. You owe me. You owe me. If you were neglected, your parents failed to pay you what they owed you, what they voluntarily, morally contracted to pay you, which was time, care, love, attention, resources, wisdom, and affection. You were stolen from, and your parents robbed you and did not pay their debts. And generally, when we are owed money, and not only are we not paid, but we're attacked, insulted, and put down for daring to bring up the fact that we are owed money, that's about as shitty a treatment as you can possibly receive in this life. It's one thing, you know, I think we've all been in the position of being owed money that somebody's not paying, right? We've all been in that position of being owed money that somebody's not paying. It's pretty rough, man. Feel kind of helpless. Especially when they start dodging and avoiding you. But what if you gently remonstrate with someone for not paying you what they owe you, and they escalate and get angry at you, and attack you and humiliate you and call you a liar and a thief and a cheat? It's about as provocative a situation as can be conceived of. It's about as provocative a situation as can be conceived of. So I understand the hurt, the pain, the sorrow. I also understand how it's easier to believe not that you weren't paid, but that you were a bad worker, because that gets your employers off the hook. Well, the reason I wasn't paid is I was a bad worker, right? So the reason my parents didn't pay attention to me is because I was an uninteresting child. I was self-absorbed. I was shy. I was not engaging. I didn't particularly like to chat. I didn't have a big sense of humor. I wasn't full of charisma. I didn't play massive sports. I wasn't a trophy child. I guess I was boring, so it's not their fault. Right? I mean, if you make some boring movie, you don't get to yell at the audience for not being interested. What is it? Like the John Lennon video film of Feet? 5 hours of Feet? It's a little boring. Right? It's a little boring. If you write a drony song, right? If you write a drony song and people don't really like it, you don't get to yell at them. It's just kind of a dull song. But as a child, isn't it so much easier? And in fact, it may be a foundational survival mechanism. Isn't it so much easier and maybe a foundational survival mechanism to say, it's not that my parents have failed to pay me what they owe me, which leaves me depressed and angry and helpless. It's not that my parents have failed to pay me what they owe me. It's that I have not earned that. I'm a bad worker who never shows up to work, drops all the plates, and so I'm not getting paid. They're deducting all the things I broke from my salary. Therefore, they owe me nothing because I'm an incompetent worker. That the reason my parents ignored me, the reason my parents didn't invest in me, the reason my parents didn't seem fascinated or happy or love me is because I'm just not appealing. Just not appealing. The reason I'm not getting paid is I'm a bad worker. The reason my parents are neglecting me is because I'm boring and worthless and unimportant. Neglect is when people, your parents, steal from you or try to steal from you your entire soul for the sake of their own selfishness and laziness, leaving you thus with almost the inevitable impression that it is not their failure but yours that has resulted in the neglect. It's not because he's an asshole employer who won't pay you. It's not ripping you off. You just dropped a lot of plates. Didn't sell any. Hey, man, you're on commission. You didn't sell any encyclopedias. Of course, you're not going to get paid. It's 100% commission. Eat what you kill. 100% commission. And guess what, sailor boy? You didn't sell anything. You don't get paid. It's not that they're ripping you off. You just suck at this. And of course, almost all of us choose the... If you have to choose between your parents sucking and you sucking, you'll say, well, I suck, because my parents do suck and they get angry whenever I criticize them, then if I say that they suck, they're going to get mad. And angering parents was a very bad survival strategy when we were evolving. Getting the people who are responsible for your safety and security, who give you food and protect you from predators, getting them angry at you, maybe especially when your siblings didn't, is a pretty bad survival strategy. So, neglect toxicifies the relationship because you can't say that your parents are neglectful. You can only say that you're not worthy of attention. Ouchies. That's your only survival mechanism to say, well, no, they're not self-involved narcissistic assholes. I'm just about as interesting as watching toenails grow or paint dry. And I understand that as a survival mechanism, it is a perfectly healthy and natural and good survival mechanism, but it comes at a little bit of a price. it comes at a little bit of a price. And the price is, you can't be loved. Because if you think your parents are right, and you're boring, uninteresting, self-involved, how's anyone supposed to love you? How are you supposed to love yourself? Or have affection for yourself? Or think positively about yourself? How are you supposed to do any of that? Painful. And that's why people get stuck in Trash Planet. Well, you see, the fault is not mine, dear son. I'm perfectly capable of being interested in interesting things, but the category called interesting things does not include you. Ah, in fact, I would even go one step further, son. The category of interesting things is the polar opposite of you. You absolute dish rag of a spineless, jellyfish, uninteresting, puddle-brained human being. Not even human doing, just human being. Why don't you go and rot more on your computer and go hide up in your room and play with your little dinosaurs and make your little Spanish soap opera plots? Maybe a little more gaming, Maybe a little more secrecy. I mean, all I get are these monosyllabic non-answers to all of my questions. How am I supposed to be interested in that? And just the other day, my friend, my child, I asked you, what is your favorite genre of videos? You didn't seem to respond at all. Ah, let me give you a reenactment of how stellarly interesting you were as a child, dear boy. I ask you, how was school? You say, fine. Fine. Okay. Yes, fascinating, scintillating. We've got iambic pentameter of the Shakespearean gods coming pouring out of your mouth like flame from the arse and armpits of a lava demon. Look at that coruscating syllables coming forward, tripping down like the rockets on cocaine during an earthquake. Brrr, flying like butterflies, your words course through the air, iridescent, shimmering, scattering gorgeous sunbeams through the soul of my chandelier heart. How's school? Fine. Did you do anything? Not really. Just learn anything? Not much. Do you have any homework? A little. Yes, so interesting. So fascinating. That's a talk show called Huh. Welcome to the talk show called Huh. What's your favorite genre of video, son? I don't know. I don't know. I used to be into satisfying videos, but then I guess, like Mom, got dissatisfied. Okay. What's your favorite game? Valorant? What is it? Shooting? Is it fun? Yeah. Do you play with friends? Yeah. What happens? Well, you just shoot each other and try to win. That's it. Pretty much. Welcome to the talk show call. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Are there any girls you like? I mean, not really. They're okay. You gonna ask any girl out? I don't know. Maybe. You going to the dance? I mean, probably. I don't know. Welcome to another Christopher Hitchens, Salman Rushdie-style Algonquin round table of fantastic language. It's like watching Shakespeare and Chaucer joust with polysyllabic Beowulf tongue. Ah, the teenage talk show called Whatever. And you say you feel neglected? How about I, as your parents, say, you're really freaking boring. You give me nothing. You say nothing. You resist everything. I've got pauses you could fit an entire pin to play into. Yeah. Hey, did you enjoy your dinner?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
Oh, it tasted good.
Hey, how'd you sleep?
Fine.
Did you get to bed late?
Not really.
Son, I've had easier time pulling teeth from a great white shark than getting answers out of you, kid. And then you complain that I neglected you? I turn myself inside out, kid, trying to get a conversation out of you, and what do I get?
Nothing. No, not really. Maybe sort of kind of fog.
Hey, do you want to come and help me? I've got some stuff to do in the garage. Would you like to come and help?
No, I guess kind of, but I got homework.
Well, that's it. I'm heading to bed. Kid, it's 9:30 at night. What do you do up there?
I mean, I do a little reading, get some homework done, I'm get ready for tomorrow. I mean, what's it to you?
Hit me with a Y if you've been there. Catastrophic non-conversations with parents. The resistance, the resentment, the passive aggression, the avoidance. You know, we're going to your aunt's on Sunday. It'd be really nice if you came. I mean, I know you're not really coming to church, but, you know, maybe we could swing by and pick you up afterwards. I mean, it'd be real nice. You know, you may not remember this. She took care of you a lot when you were little. She cares about you. She is always asking after you, and it would be nice. It would just be nice. I'm not saying you have to. It would just be kind of nice if you showed up. I'm just talking an hour. We're not going to ask you to run a marathon. Just, you know, show up and, I don't know, ask her about her bunions, like whatever old people talk about, you know? I mean, she's old, she's not dead, and she misses you.
Oh? I mean, it's some video game thing, can't you move that?
Oh, it's a contest? Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, just think about it at some point. I mean, it would be nice for her. And I mean, I know you're like, you're kind of peer oriented and you mean, I know, I get it. I mean, I was a teenager too. Like your friends are very important, but you know, I mean, odds are, you know, I don't want to give you the big spoiler, right, of your late teens, but odds are your friends are just going to, right, they're just going to despawn the different universities. They're going to go various places. What do you call it? The back rooms. And they're just going to go. They're going to go various places. You're probably not going to have much to do with them. But, you know, it could be the case that your aunt is going to be part of your life. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe she's got $1 zillion and she'll leave us some money when she dies.
No, it's not about the money. God, then why would you just go to that? And don't be so suspicious. It's not about, I'm making a joke. It's not, I'm not asking you to pimp yourself out for money from the family. Come on.
So when you neglect your children, they don't want to talk to you. Also, if your children genuinely and deeply believe, that you don't particularly care about them, they won't want to talk to you. And if they believe that any problem they have is going to be viewed as an intrusion, right? Okay, Dad, if you really want to know, I'm having a tough time at school, man. I'm really having a tough time at school. It's horrible. I hate going in. I mean, it's one science teacher that I like, but that's like it. It's horrible. You know, I mean, was it? Yeah, like 3 days last week, I ate my lunch in the toilet, Dad. I'm eating my lunch in the toilet.
people banging on the door. Hey, everything coming out. I hope everything comes out all right.
I can't stand it, Dad. I hate being at school. I hate being at school. I hate being at school. Do you know there was like this informal Paul? There was this informal Paul. Who's the most hated kid in school? I wasn't at the top, but I mean, I was on the list, man. And I don't know why.
So funny, man.
I feel like I'm like being hunted. Like every time I walk down the class, I mean, I got to get out. You got to get me out. I want to be homeschooled. I want to go to a different school. I need something different. I can't do this. I can't. What's your dad going to say? What's your dad and mom going to say? Well, son, you just got to find a way to push through it. You know, we all go through these difficult things and you'll be a stronger person for it. And I remember kids were mean to me at school and, you know, you'll be fine. Just bear down and deal with it and it'll be fine, right? It'll be fine. No, Dad, I can't stand it. I can't stand going to school. I hate it. I hate everything about it. You know, like it used to be like Sunday afternoon, I'd start to get depressed and anxious. Now it's like Saturday afternoon because I think it's 24 hours and then I'll be like, I can't stand it. I get like fucking, sorry, Mom and Dad.
Sorry.
I get like 40 minutes from like 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday till 4:10 in the afternoon. I get, oh, thank God I don't have to come back for another couple of days. And because I hate being there, I can't do the work. I don't, like, even the work reminds me of how much I hate it. I can't do it. Like, you got to do something. You got to fix this. Look, I know I've got a brother and maybe he's fine. He's not helping me. He's not circling back. Like, I've been so covered in fucking, I'm sorry. I've been so covered in loser dust, in nerd fog, that Bill avoids me at school too because he wants everyone to forget that I'm his brother. I mean, I want to. I try angling towards him. And he shoots me this look like, one step closer, I'm going to open a trapdoor and send you to Hades. And once you get this loser pollen, this nerd dust on you, like it doesn't come off. And they hate me, man. They hate me. They hate me. I don't know why. I mean, I want to be nice. I try to be nice. I'm not doing anything to anyone. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, Dad, you know, some of the kids, they share these memes. They would make Mom like turn inside out and faint. I don't do any of that. Some of the kids who rag on other kids, they seem pretty popular. I feel like the nicest kid. I feel like the nicest kid in the school, and everybody just hates me. And I don't have anything to do to change that. I don't have anything to do can change that. I can't, because now everything I do will just be fake. Right? So I don't know, let's say I have some incredible skill at some stupid sport. Sorry, I know sports aren't stupid. I know you were a sports guy, Dad, but let's say I'm just incredible at something and everybody be like, well, he just did that to get over the loser thing, and the loser thing, like, once it sticks, it's like a tattoo, man. Cannot get that stuff off. Now, if you have a conversation like that with your parents, would they give you a hug? Would they move heaven and earth to make things better for you? Would they rearrange their lives? Would they homeschool? Would they get you to a different situation? Would they go and confront the bully's parents? What would they do? What would they do? I wasn't, just so you know, just out of curiosity, I mean, in case you're curious, I really wasn't bullied in school. I had one guy was going to kill me, man. That went on for, I don't know, a week or two, but I had pretty good friends. I was very sporty, and so I myself wasn't bullied in school. So that's just so you know, that's an act of imagination. But if you had talked to your parents about that, would they have listened? Would they have tried to move heaven and earth to make things better for you? Would they have sympathized? Would they have said, yeah, school is terrible for the most part? I mean, it either hollows you out and makes you popular, or you're deep and hated. When you brought a problem to your parents' attention, neglectful parents will just view it as an intrusion, right? All they'll do is view it as an intrusion. It's an annoyance. It's an interference, right? It's an interference. Somebody says they would have talked over me about two words in. I learned not to swear around my parents. Soap does not go well as a dessert of spaghetti. Yeah, for it. How on earth are you invoking these emotions? You haven't been there in 40 years. And again, I was really not bullied in school. I was really not bullied. I was fairly popular. I was viewed as a little different, but I was fairly popular in school. And it's funny because I was viewed probably as a little bit nerdy in my early to mid-teens. And then I used to start going to discos and nightclubs at sort of 15 or 16 years of age. And I remember some of the cooler kids showed up when I was 17, and I was like busting all these dance moves and talking to all these girls and having a great time. And like the last year and a half of high school was just like coasting in that sense, because the word got around like Steph was there doing all this wildy cool stuff, right? Somebody says, I hid in the toilet and had no friends and hid it from them and was terrified if they found out I had to make so many lies so they wouldn't find out, even though they clearly knew, as I never hung out with anyone. I was the loner of loners. I'm really sorry about that. I'm really sorry. Big hugs for that. Big hugs for that. I'm so sorry. So these lame, stilted, bad conversations as teenagers happen because the children were neglected when they were kids. And so they don't want to connect and talk with their parents when they become teenagers. See, there's a lot of parents, and this is a bit more true with dads, I think. It happens with moms, of course. I think it's a bit more true with dads. And what they say is, well, you know, kids are kind of boring and repetitive, and they want to hear the same story over and over again. And I used to, when my daughter was very little, we had a book of fairy tales, and I used to read the fairy tales, and she loved Jack and the Beanstalk. No, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. I have just a big acting thing, and she just absolutely loved that. And we would do that like for an hour or two. And my voice was like Freddie Mercury singing Another One Bites the Dust, kind of nodule, broken roar. And but I loved the repetition. I thought it was great. I loved the repetition. And every time she got into a particular movie, we would be the scenes in that movie, and we would have all the characters from that movie. We'd make them all up and run around and do that kind of stuff. And it was great. But a lot of parents, this is true, again, a little bit more true for dads. They're like, well, you know, you're not that interesting as a kid, but boy, when you become a teenager, I'm going to get more interested. And it's like, too late. Too late. That boat has sailed. That ship is sunk. There is no chance to have it later. No chance to have it later if you don't have it earlier. It's like saying, well, I'm going to have 23 bad dates with a woman and then I'm going to get her to marry me. Later. It's like, no, you won't get to the 23 bad dates. You won't get to the 23 bad dates. So it is not you who is deficient as a child. We view ourselves as our parents treat us. Sorry, simple fact, simple fact. And it's not how we always have to be, but it's certainly how it is for the first 20 to 25 years of our life. We view ourselves as our parents treat us. And we have no choice. Because if they're cold, mean and cruel, if we point that out, right? I mean, can you imagine? You've got some Fox News watching, screen addicted, distracted dad, right? Right, and he came home from work, he kind of sat through dinner on his phone, and then he goes and watches TV, and then you go in and like, oh, dad, get your fat ass off that couch, turn off the TV, be a big boy now, turn off the TV, do some goddamn parenting, all right? You chose to have me, you chose to keep me, try and, you know, see if you can just, I don't know if you need to massage your legs like you got blood clots from a transpolar flight. You need to get up, stretch a little, warm up if you have to. But you need to do some parenting, which means you need to play with me. You need to interact with me. You need to take some pleasure in my presence. You need to seek out my time. Woo me a little. Show some interest. I don't care if you have to fake it. I'm that desperate. I don't care if you got to fake it like mom does. But get your fat ass off that couch. And even if it's a chore for you, pretend it isn't, do some parenting. Oh, I don't know. How about, why don't you give me some wisdom so I don't have to invent everything from bald guys on the internet and from TikTok? How about I don't have to invent every human value known to man? How about you give me a little wisdom? Some advice. Some thoughts, a little bit here on how to navigate the world, conflicts, relationships. I mean, you were in school a lot longer than I've been. Anything. 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 Oh, I got an idea. How about you give a rat's ass about the music I like? You know, just a thought. My daughter's into something called nerdcore. Didn't even know it was a thing. It's actually pretty good. Check out JT Music. It's pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. How about you show an interest in what I'm doing on the computer? How about you show an interest in the books I like to read? How about you know anything about my friends? How about you know if I have friends, maybe their names would be nice a little bit. How about you know what my hobbies are? Do you have an idea what I like to do with my spare time? Anything. Because, you know, you're kind of welded to that screen. But, you know, I mean, it's funny because, you know, mom says, hey, lift the dishes in the sink, and you're like up and doing stuff, and yet I'm just rotting here in a corner. Anything. I don't care. Anything. Oh, except it can't be getting yelled at for holding the flashlight wrong because you're fixing something in a dark corner. That? No, not doing that. You don't get to roll your parenting into stupid chores you have to do. Something that's focused on me. Okay, let's do a little quiz, Dad. Mom, you can sit, Jim, join in, you can sit here too. What's my favorite band? What's my favorite song? What's my favorite book? Who's my favorite celebrity? What is my secret dream? What ability do I wish I had the most? What's my favorite color? What's the food that I know the food, you'd know that, Mom, right? But what style of food, like what ethnicity of food do I like to eat the most? What was my, I know, Mom, you'd know my last major health issue. Dad, you wouldn't even know if I'd lost an arm, I think. So, yeah, just, you know, get your ass off the couch and get some damn parenting done. It kind of is your job, right? And, I mean, if you don't, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But, basically, when I'm gone, I'm like Wile E. Coyote through a wall. I'm gone, and I'm gone. Right now, if you were to say to your dad, get your fat butt off the couch and get some parenting done, what would have happened?
How dare you? Oh, 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 I can't believe I do everything with this family.
Just noises in angry narcissist. Angry narcissist noises intensify. So you can't say any of that. You can't say, Dad, you're a lazy ass parent. You're a lazy parent. When was the last time you really took an interest in something that I'm interested in, right? My dad, all he did was watch sports ball instead of doing any parenting. He would knock me flying across the room, right? And I'm really sorry for that too, but that means, of course, you can't, certainly can't blame yourself, and you couldn't have fixed the problem when you were a kid. So then you have to say, well, I guess I'm just boring. Yeah, dad's totally rational. I guess I'm just boring. Who would rather watch roided up rage monsters throw pigskin around than interact with his child and have a conversation with his child? Alrighty then. Alrighty then. Delightful. Delightful. So, all right. Thank you for your indulgence. Hope it was helpful. And let's have a look here. Is sexless and blah, blah, blah. When I go from my own words to other people's words, apparently, I spaz out. Is sexlessness in a marriage always a sign of a deeper issue? What should a wife do if a husband's porn addiction is revealed long after the commitment is made and the children have been born? I'm too embarrassed to call in. Well, it's not in particular to that addiction, but you should really have honest conversations before you get married. Right? You should have honest conversations about bad habits or whatever you want to call it. Somebody says, I did a call in with you 2 years ago. My parents didn't even ask to hear it. My gosh, I bet you they would hate to hear it as a whole. Somebody says, I managed to probe him as a teenager and audio recorded his response and screaming matches. Yeah, isn't that wild that you can have that? Somewhere there exists, well, maybe not anymore, maybe somewhere in my mom's, the bowels of my mom's trash planet, but there was a recording of me trying to record. I must have been 11 or 12 and me trying to record Music Box Dancer on the radio, which was this little song I really liked back in the day. And my whole family crabbing about this, and that's not your tape. Yes, it is. I recorded something important on that. Just stupid naggy crap, right? Just stupid naggy crap that people have. Hey, Molly. Hello, Alec. All right. So, sorry. Let me just get back to your questions. Sexlessness in marriage, what is occurring with sexlessness in a marriage? Well, I mean, I've had a bunch of conversations with people about this. Obviously, I'm no doctor. You should go, if you have issues with sexual desire or you have sexual performance issues and so on. In my humble opinion, I'm not giving any medical advice. In my humble opinion, if I was in that situation, I would go see a doctor. I would get blood work done. I would have everything checked out physically. Just make sure that you're not viewing as a psychological issue something that could be a physical issue, right? So you have to meet as a man, you have to meet female sexuality in the middle, right? And for women, you have to meet male sexuality in the middle. Right, so there are some women who are like, well, female sexuality is beautiful and male sexuality is just empty lust, right? And it's considered negative, right? And so for men, you do have to understand that the woman needs to feel treasured and wooed and loved. And then she'll be more likely to be in the mood. Whereas for a lot of men, if they have sex, then they feel treasured, wooed, and loved, right? So you just have to, right, meet the other sex in the middle and know that the combination of the two is probably what is best. But yeah, sexlessness in a marriage is usually a sign of, in my humble opinion, right, I don't have any studies on this, but sexlessness in a marriage, assuming there's no sort of particular physical issue, is anger. Anger and distance, right? I mean, it's anger can really bring people close. Like being angry with each other can really bring people close because it shows you care, it shows you're passionate about a topic, and it shows that you want to stand up for the marriage as a whole or the relationship as a whole. And so anger can be really healthy, but a lot of times because we've had toxic rageaholics in our lives, anger is viewed as something that blows people apart. And then if, like, let's say you're angry at your wife and she just shuts down, she punishes you, she withdraws, she slams doors, and then she goes out and she just won't talk to you until you apologize, and your anger is absolutely unacceptable. You cannot be angry in the relationship. And then it's like, okay, so my genuine experiences are not welcome here. I mean, I'm angry. If I'm angry, right? Why is that a problem? Well, I mean, I get that rage and manipulation and bullying and so on, that's a problem. But anger is not those things. I mean, people pretend to be angry, but they're just in a perpetual state of manipulation. That's all. It's not real. It's not genuine. It's not honest. Genuine anger can really be helpful. So if, for instance, let's say that you have a your wife, she has a really toxic mother, right? And maybe you've dealt with all of that or whatever, right? She's a really toxic mother. And then every now and then, that toxic mother is going to creep into the relationship. Or if you have a husband whose father was really dissociated and disconnected, that dissociation and disconnection is going to creep into the relationship. And you'll work with it, but sometimes you can only dislodge the ghosts of bad people from the past by getting angry. And exorcism isn't just tears and praying. Sometimes it's anger and holy water and caterwauling. To protect a marriage from the dysfunctional ghosts of decades past sometimes requires anger. All self-protection is bound up with anger. All self-protection is bound up with anger. The pretense of anger in order to silence others, the bullying of anger, right? That's rage, that's manipulation. It's nothing authentic or real, right? Rage and manipulation are designed to drive out the truth. Anger is frustration when you can't get to the truth, when there's things in the way of the truth. So sexlessness in a marriage, you're just punishing each other. You know, if you lock someone in your basement and you don't feed them, it's because you hate them. You want them to hurt, you want them to suffer, right? So if you get into a monogamous sexual relationship and then neither of you figure out how you can happily provide sex with each other, that's because you're angry with each other and you have been, I assume you've both been so frightened and scarred by anger and rage and manipulation in the past that you view all anger as destructive and abusive. Therefore, you don't have any way of protecting yourself from intrusions. From the past, from the inner mother or father or whoever, right? And so if your wife gets possessed by, say, a dysfunctional mother, and you get angry, that is to drive out the dysfunctional mother. But if she won't let you get angry or won't accept you getting angry, then your wife gets taken over by her mother, and then your sexual desire evaporates because you don't have a mother-in-law fetish because you're not insane, right? So anyway, it could be any number of things, but that would be I would first. If you want to do a call-in in private, freedomain.com/call-in, just choose the private option. All right. Good evening, Steph. Would you say that you were the same person that you were 10, 20, 30 years ago? If you have changed, is it possible that when people say their partner's changed, resulting in the end of their relationship, that maybe there is some truth to it? I don't experience this as a particularly honest question. This feels like a kind of gotcha, right? So the reasoning would go something like this. Well, Steph, you're not exactly the same person that you were 30 years ago. I mean, God, man, 30 years ago, you were 28. I thought it was 18 for sex. Like, no. So yeah, 30 years ago, you were 28 years old. Are you saying you're exactly the same now as you were when you were 28? Well, no. Then people change, and therefore people can get into relationships, and they can change. And therefore, how dare you say to people, if they say, well, my partner just changed, it's like, no, they didn't. You've changed, right? So it feels like a little bit like being put into a corner, I think unfairly. It's sort of like cancer is when the cells grow uncontrollably, right? And it's like saying, so are you saying that your cells have never renewed ever in your life? It's like, well, yeah, but that's a difference between cells renewing, which is growth of cells, and rampant growth of cells called cancer, these things are not the same, right? You know, breathing is very important for your health. Oh, are you saying you've never held your breath in your entire life? It's like, no, that's not really the same category. So if in terms of be the same person, let's say 30 years ago when I was 28, well, 28, I'd already been 13 years into philosophy. I started when I was 15. So 28, I was already in, I was a free market guy. I was a universal morality guy. I was at that point a minarchist, not a voluntarist. And I believed in communication and I exercised. So I would say that my values have not foundationally changed. How I manifest those values has changed a little bit, and they've certainly extended themselves. But if, you know, I mean, my wife, let's go 22 years ago, 23 years ago, I met my wife, right? So almost a quarter century ago, I met my wife. And she is the same person as I met foundationally. Of course, there have been growth and changes and all of that, but she's the same person. Personality is remarkably stable. And I mean, I mentioned this before, that many years ago, I was visiting a friend who happened to live right next to the high school we both went to. And there was a high school reunion, and we just went, right? I hadn't even shaved or a haircut, because, you know, people try to look good for these kinds of things, right? And I was around, and everybody was the same. And they even said to me, my God, you're the same. You're the same. So I would say I didn't go from, I don't know, like evil to good or anything like that. I've always been cautious. I've never done drugs. I've always been cautious about alcohol. And I think I last got drunk, I mean, close to 40 years ago. I was, what, maybe 21. I last got drunk. It was an after party for a play I was in. And that was it. And I was like, well, this is horrible. The spins are horrible. And losing your Sunday to vague headaches is all horrible. So, you know, am I going to wake up tomorrow and hate philosophy? No. Am I going to wake up tomorrow with an inability to do shows? No. You know, am I going to wake up tomorrow with anything other than an okay amateur half-singing voice? Nope. No, I mean, it's just the way that it is, right? It's just the way that it is. Alex says, my mother criticized me so badly that it made me suicidal. I'm so sorry about that. You know, murderous thoughts and instincts on the part of mothers is really common. I mean, it's common with dads too, but murderous thoughts from mothers is a lot more common than people want to think. And we all know these sort of extreme cases where there's a family annihilator, like a mother. Murderous thoughts on behalf of mothers. It's not so much that you're, I mean, my humble opinion, obviously, I'm sorry if I'm stepping out of line, of course, right? But I would probably try to work with it like this. And again, with all due humility that I'm just going off a chance comment of yours. But it would be something like, it's not like your mother criticized you to the point where you became suicidal. It's that you internalized your mother's desire for you to die in order to please her, because pleasing her was necessary for your survival. I mean, my mother openly hated her children from time to time, for sure. Yeah, the fact that you can record all of this stuff now is pretty wild, right? He says, I know a guy who did everything right, seemingly. Amazing job, unbelievably great writer. Listened to your show, I believe, as well. Although he told me he couldn't quit watching porn even shortly after his huge wedding, getting married to his wife. Well, but I think isn't that is a lot of shame weapon for women, right? How dare you? It's like cheating and so on. I mean, you're married to the guy. I think you just have to try and be curious and figure these things out. Hint to detect manipulation masking as anger equals emotional liability. Hint to detect manipulation masking as anger was emotional liability. Yeah, they just changed is covered in my book, Real-Time Relationships. That's vanity to think that, yeah, for sure. Have you done a Truth About episode on siblings? Yeah, again, you'll have to tell me more about what you're talking about. I know that even under fairly loosey-goosey standards at the moment, 50% of sibling relationships are classified as abusive. And abusive sibling relationships are often worse because you're supposed to be allies. Like, you're supposed to be, I remember reading through Lord of the Rings, and when it came to sort of Frodo and Samwise are analogies for siblings confronting lies and manipulation at the heart of a family, right? Lability. Flexibility? Continually undergoing change or breakdown. Sorry, I assumed that was a typo. My bad. Sorry about that. Emotional lability. Yeah. It's manipulation when there's a goal and there's a twist and turn to get to the goal and there's not an honest and direct communication. There's a manipulation when you are portrayed as being at fault no matter what. It is a manipulation when everything has an agenda and there's a goal. Like, it's a manipulation. If the guy just wants to sleep with the girl and doesn't really care about her, everything will be manipulative, right? So. Hi, Steph. What made it fully click to you, your brain and subconscious, that you were free from Trash Planet? Oh, yeah. So there were two, I won't get into the details of the people, but there were two incidents where I was just like, God, what am I doing here? There were two incidents. One was I was going to visit someone at a cottage. And it took forever to get there. And I got to the cottage and I was supposed to stay the Friday and the Saturday night and then leave on the Sunday. And I went there for dinner and everybody was making these kind of coarse jokes and it just felt Dostoevsky, Notes from the House of the Dead, Memoirs from the House of the Dead. It just felt cold and chilly and a kind of inhuman. And everybody was subtly putting everything down. Everybody was aping their superiority. And it was just creepy. And I was like, what am I doing? This is not for me. I can barely breathe here. Everybody was just weird. Like half misfiring robots of automatic history or something like that. And there was no, and I couldn't, and I realized I couldn't say, there's an odd air to this gathering. Do you guys feel that? There's something odd about this gathering. Something's not right. I couldn't say that. Because that would be to be vulnerable among people to whom status is everything. And if you can be vulnerable around people, but not if anybody's interested in status or foundationally driven by status, you can't be vulnerable around them because then they'll just mock you and put you down because that gives them higher status. So I just remember thinking, okay, there's something not right about all of this and I can't point it out and I can't fix it and I don't want it. And I did stay that night because it was too late to drive home, but then I just made an excuse that I had something to do in the business realm, and I was an entrepreneur back then, as I am now, but in the software field, and I just made my escape, and I never went back. That was number one. And I was just like, okay, that was one of the last times I saw. I think that might have been the last time I saw a lot of those people. The next one was a dinner party. It was like a dinner party. And these are among people, again, I'm not going to get into any details, but this is with people who I knew could throw a fantastic dinner party. And they put no effort into it. I was there with my then girlfriend, soon to be fiance, soon to be wife. I just put no effort into it. They gave her like a half frozen veggie burger patty. Like it was just, and it was just like, no. And then, yeah, again, people are just making these sort of coarse jokes and this harsh laughter. And everybody was so cynical. And I was just like, this is cold, man. This is just, this is cold and empty. This is people hollowed out. No spontaneity, no genuine emotion, no connection. And I can't say how weird this is. Because if I say how weird this is, people will turn. I would describe that environment as the absence of the Holy Ghost in that place. Yeah, I follow the promptings and leave. That is a really perfect way to put it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thoughts on forgetfulness about past traumatic experiences. What is the best way you'd recommend to tap into what one went through as a child? For me, I've blanked some of my really bad childhood experiences out. I have a hard time getting through some fog and blanking to really feel how I felt and remember the situations adequately. Why do you want to re-experience past trauma? Would you like to know how to get over a bad childhood? Hopefully I have a little bit of credibility with regards to this. Would you like to know how to get over a bad childhood? Unrelated, but freedomain.com/donate. I can tell you how to get over a bad childhood. And this is embedded in the call-in shows as a whole, but it might as well give you the abstract principle here. The way you get out of a bad childhood, the way you overcome a bad childhood, the way you put it in the past, the way you get over it, is to do the opposite of what you had to do. Right? If you were starved, if you were half starved to death, how do you regain your weight? Well, you do the opposite of starving and you eat well. If as a child, you were forced to lie, you tell the truth. You tell the truth. If as a child you were forced to defer to crazy people, stop deferring to crazy people. You just do the opposite. What was forbidden becomes permissible. What was permissible becomes forbidden. If you were forced to lie, stop lying and tell the truth. If you were forced to defer to crazy people, stop deferring to crazy people. If you are forced into silence, speak up. That's how you signal to your unconscious the childhood is over. Your childhood lasts as long as its habits. Your childhood lasts as long as the habits enforced upon you in your childhood. How do you know when you're done school? You stop going to school. Instead of going to school, you go not to school. I was forced to submit to crazy people when I was a child. I had to bite my tongue and shut up because they got fucking angry and violent. So how do I know when childhood is over? When I say fuck you to the violent people and speak up. Does that make sense? As a child, I could not tell the truth to my parents. As an adult,
I told the truth to my parents. As a child, I was not allowed to speak up and speak out against the lies of my teachers and professors. As an adult, I have a whole series called The Truth About Karl Marx, the Native American genocide, Israel and Palestine, Robin Williams, Donald Trump, right? I couldn't tell the truth because I'd get punished, failed, ostracized, exorcised, boom, failed. So how do I know my childhood is over? Because I could just tell the truth. I mean, yes, I'll get punished for it, whatever, right? But I can still do it. I can survive the punishment. If your childhood was subjugated, your childhood lasts as long as your subjugation does. If in your childhood you were forced to lie, your childhood lasts as long as your lies. And I totally sympathize with everyone who was forced to lie as a child. Hugely sympathize. Absolutely, completely, and totally nothing but sympathy. But as an adult, you don't have to. Spoiler, as an adult, you can tell the truth. Is it going to cost you at times? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you never tell the truth and you were forced to lie as a child, all you're saying is that childhood will never, ever, ever end. The way you overcome a bad childhood is you do the opposite of what was forced upon you as a child. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. Thank you for your Joseph McCarthy video. It's worth far more than $50. Thank you. I appreciate that. Israel just attacked Iran? Yeah, I remember when I was playing Macbeth. We were in rehearsal and we were told that Israel had just bombed Iran. And we thought it might all be over. All of it. Israel has launched long-awaited counterstrike on Iran. Israel launches strikes against Iran in response to ballistic missile attacks. It's funny, huh? They say strikes. I mean, the whole point of the military is to break things and kill people. Months of continuous attacks from Iran. On October 1st, Iran launched nearly 200 ballistic missiles at Israel. I mean, in general, war is the subjugation of the domestic population, right? This is incredible. Thank you. You're welcome. Looking well, Steph. Thank you. Politics is scary to hear. Politics is nothing more than the shadow cast by the population's desperation to lie to itself. If people would stop lying to themselves, politics would lose power. Politics is the shadow of Satan cast by the lies blocking the light of truth from the world, right? People want to lie to themselves. They want to lie to themselves. My team good, your team bad. Because they want to lie to themselves, you get violence and destruction. And because they lie to themselves, they have to be incredibly brutal on their children, which, well, we know that cycle, right? The state is the macrocosm of the abusive family. All right. Trump might bring us to war with Iran. I don't think so. I mean, based upon the track history, there were no new wars that America got involved in during the 4 years of Trump. Although COVID was kind of at war, in a way. So I'm not based upon prior experiences. All right, any other last questions, comments, issues? I appreciate your time tonight. That's good. I will check out. I do like a good horror movie. The Others with Nicole Kidman was great. I do like a good horror movie, but it's hard to find one that isn't just cheap-ass junk food jump scares. Yeah, so the beautiful thing about philosophy is you don't have to lie to your children. And because you don't have to lie to your children, you don't have to be horrible and aggressive in your proselytizing of your values. You don't have to frighten them into compliance because you can reason them into knowledge. Israel is not striking Iranian oil fields or nuclear facilities. Yeah. That's pretty hard to beat the Israelis. Pretty hard to beat the Israelis. I mean, when they can do this whole pager thing, it's pretty tough to beat the Israelis. Do you think dream analysis is possible with your AIs? We're working on it. Yeah, we're working on it. The second coming of Jesus is soon. Yeah, No. This has been a really amazing show. I like the vibe on Friday Night Lies. I appreciate that. And great questions, guys. And I really do thank you for your support. If you're listening to this later, freedomain.com/donate. I would love to get your support. And the call-in AI analyzed my dream. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I did a fantastic dream analysis 2 nights ago. Ooh, what a dream analysis. Holy crap. The dream analysis of a couple of nights ago. It'll be out at some point soon, but it was something else, man. We went as deep as you can go without getting into the corner of a black hole. All right. So we're also going to be, we are releasing, in fact, the, let me just see if I can get the link. Just for those of you who are listening to this, you may not be supporters of the show as a whole, and that's fine. I don't care. It hurt me. Fine. I can update. One of the AIs is loose in the wild at the moment. One of the AIs is loose in the wild, and even if you're not a supporter, a donor, you can get and play around with the AI, which is great. And let me just see if I can get the linky link. Oh, no, it's installing. See? Anyway, hang on just a sec. I'll be back in a literal flash, but you should absolutely try the AIs. They really are good. Sometimes I wonder why people choose their abusive families over philosophy. Well, you're going to serve someone. You either serve reason or you serve crazy people. Because craziness doesn't speak for itself. So you either follow reason or you're a slave to crazy people. And the only chance we have for liberty is enslavement to reason, so to speak. Nature to be commanded must be obeyed. And liberty to be achieved requires subjugation of the angry mammal will to the dictates of reason and evidence. All right, let me see here. Yes, the call-in AI. So we took, 110, 120 call-in shows. It's quite a lot of work. We took 100, 110, 120 call-in shows. We split up the transcripts and we fed my side and the other person's side into the AI. And some people, and you can go and ask that AI. So I'd ideally like to, and we're trying to work on this. Thank you, Matthew. I ideally would like to have it, you be able to talk to me and have it talk back like me. That way I can be immortal, beloved. But let's see here. But that's still to come. So yeah, you can go freedomain.com/, and these are hyphens, call-in-ai-preview. So freedomain.com/call-in-ai-preview. And you can go and check it out. And it's obviously not the same as a call-in show with me, but it's not the total opposite either. And of course, it's available for free. You can share it with others and have them give it a try. And it's really, really good. Steph, would you listen to Some Might Say by Oasis, please? You said you never listened to them. Look Back in Anger is a great song. Great song. A great, great, great song. I never tire of that song, to be honest with you. But I will check out the album. I appreciate that. All right. Thanks, everyone, for a gloriously delightful, deep evening. I really, really do appreciate it. If you're listening later, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show and enjoy all your benefits. Don't forget to go to fdrurl.com/locals if you want to try the locals community for free. And also, if you want to check out the TikTok channel, I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to that and share that around. That's fdrurl.com/TikTok. Have a beautiful evening, everyone. Lots of love from up here. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.